Right now, we are going through a sermon series on wrestling with God. And we're going through verses 25 through 35. And the big idea behind all of this is the fact that Jacob had to learn how to put his trust and faith in God and not rely upon himself or the fleshly side of who he was. And we're all on the same journey. Jacob is the most relatable character in the Bible because he is struggling to get where he needs to be. And even though he gets himself straightened back out again, he still finds himself in places that he's putting more emphasis upon himself instead of trusting into God. And so that's our story too. But we, like Jacob, we encounter problems. We got difficulties at work. We've got problems with family. We got the world that's coming in. We got the budget shut down. There's so many things happening around us. Not even to mention the things happening on the inside of us, the things that we struggle with, those temptations, those nagging problems that we need to adjust to and quit doing. All of these things are pulling us away from being the person God is calling us to be, and they're the same thing that Jacob is struggling with. And God's calling us to be in a place of unconditional trust, where God needs us to be. Now, let me give you a quick pause before we move any further. We're talking about trust. There's a difference between faith and trust. Our faith is in God. We believe that he is God, the creator of the universe. We believe his son came and died on the cross, rose from the grave, and because of his sacrifice, we have been forgiven and able to be in heaven with God. That is where our faith is. We believe in that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance. That's a guarantee. Our faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now, hope is not something it's like, golly gee willikers, I hope that happens. Hope is where I place all my trust. My hope is in the fact that Christ died for me on the cross. And it goes on saying the conviction of things not seen. We believe it, even though we don't quite completely understand how God could save a person like me. That's faith. Trust is what we do with that faith. Trust is how we act upon that faith. And that's where we're going today. We're going to cover three things this morning. Three main highlights of you through Genesis chapter 31. One, trust God when he calls you. We also need to work on trusting God when the world begins pushing back. And finally, trusting in the boundaries that God has set inside of our life. Trust God when he calls you, trust God when the world pushes back, and trust God when he sets the boundaries. Let's pray this morning. Father, we come before you. And each and every one of us, God, have got struggles and difficulties in our life. And like Jacob, God, many times we make the wrong decision and we go the wrong direction, or we trust in ourselves instead of trusting in you. Father, we come today asking to open our eyes, open our heart to hear. For God, you're calling us into a beautiful relationship. And yet we're the ones that keep turning our back and walking the other direction. So God, may we understand what's being read today. May our hearts burn inside of us and recognize the direction we need to go. May we fully trust you as we move in that direction. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Genesis chapter 31. We'll be in there. You can turn to that in your black Bible. It's the first book of the Bible. I'm saying that for our friend up in the front row, not because y'all don't know where Genesis is, but he might not. So we're also going to be looking a little further into the text, but I'm going to jump off a few places and give us a few anchors in different scripture, but primarily to stay in the book of Genesis chapter 3. All right. It's 55 verses long. Are you ready? I'm going to take it in chunks. I'm not going to read the entire thing. Verses 1 through 3. Now Jacob heard the sons of Laban were saying, Jacob has taken all that was our father's. And from what was our father's, he's gained all of his wealth. And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. So we've heard the friction between Laban and Jacob. Last Sunday, we saw how Laban was hiding the sheep so that Laban would not get his wages, or Jacob wouldn't get his wages. But when God said, it's time to go home, Jacob remembered what God was telling him, because before Jacob stepped into the land, before he saw Rebekah, before he saw Laban, at the text in chapter 28 of the Jacob's ladder, we saw the angels going up and down. God made a promise to him at that time, 20 years ago, but God made a promise, and he said in Genesis 28:15, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I have spoken to you. So God keeps coming back saying the same thing again and again. I am with you. I will never leave you, Jacob. Now it's time to go home. So Jacob is ready. He's gone through 20 years of trial and tribulation. He's had all kinds of struggles and difficulties, and he calls his wives to come out to the field with him. We got to talk. And the wives come out, Rachel and Leah come out to the field, and as they come out there, he goes through the long list of all the things that Laban has done. Laban, your father has mistreated me. He has changed my wages. He has taken the flocks from me, trying to lower my herds, but God has blessed me and continued to provide for me until we have all that we have. And the daughter's like, you're right. It's time for us to go as well. Look on down to verse 9. Thus God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. Now notice Laban is giving God the credit. He's praising God and saying God's the one that has provided and made this happen. Down in 16, Rachel and Leah, they reply as well. All the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and our children. Now then, whatever God has said to you, you do. So now they're ready. God said go, and Jacob has convinced his family they need to go, and he begins to leave immediately. The Bible says in verse 20 that Jacob tricked Laban, the Aramean, by not telling him he intended to flee, and he fled with all that he had and arose and across the Euphrates and set his face towards the hill country of Gilead. Jacob is still being Jacob. He's still the trickster. Instead of trusting what God called him to do, I'm going to Laban and saying, Laban, God has called me to go back home. Will you send me with your blessing? Jacob flees. The Greek word for flee is to bolt, to suddenly leave. So imagine Jacob's packing everything. Camels are going across the hilltop. Socks are flying out of the bag. They're going so fast. They left in a hurry to get back to where they were going. Why? Because Jacob was afraid that he might lose the very thing that he was needing or wanting in life. Remember, he stole his brother's blessing and he stole his birthright. What was Jacob looking for that entire time? Something to make him more. He was wanting to be more, to have more, and he was tricking and plotting the entire time. Even though the story is full of references to God, his actions show what he really trusts. And what was it that he trusted in? He was not trusting what God was telling him to do, because he was afraid that he would lose everything he had. We'll get to that a little bit later. So when God calls us, what is God actually saying? When he says you go, to go into something or to get out of something, you're not where you need to be. I need you to get out of that. You need to stop that habit. You need to change that part of your life. Or I'm calling you to get out of this area and go into this area. I need you to go and talk to your neighbor. I need you to go and begin leading a Bible study. Every time that God calls us out of something or into something, what he's calling us to do is to trust him. Because when God is saying step out or step in, he's saying trust what I'm telling you to do and go in that direction. Trust is our answer to our faith in God. And when God comes down and says, I need you to go and talk to your neighbor, the fear that rises up inside of us, well, God, if I go over there, they might think I'm an idiot. I'm not sure if I know what to say. And God is saying every time when he says, do something, I will be with you. I want you to notice that through the entire Bible, every single time that God sends somebody out, he is promising to be with them. It's not our strength. It's not our wisdom. It's not our scheming that gets us where we need to go. It's trusting in God as we move forward. Trust is the foundation. Let me show you in Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 6. This is our anchor to make sure that we're understanding what exactly is going on with Jacob and inside of ourselves. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Meaning every single part of what we are, we're called to trust God. Meaning when he says do something, we're saying, yes, Lord, I will go. So if we trust God with all of our heart, and then it says, and do not lean on our own understanding. Because many times we begin arguing back, but God, I got a better way. And when God says go, you're saying, I can do it. And you take off doing it your way instead of doing it the way God is calling you to do it. God is saying, don't trust in your own understanding. Don't trust in what you think is right. Follow what I've told you to do. Follow how I'm calling you to live. And I'm telling you, if you do this, I will be with you. And the next part says, in all the ways, acknowledge him. What it's saying is that when we live our life, we need to recognize that we wake up in the morning, God, thank you. This is your day, and you woke me up. Thank you for that. And the food on my table, we pray many times when we eat. God, thank you for the food you put upon my table, because without your ability given to me, I wouldn't have the job that I have. Because of you, God, I was able to earn the money to put the food on the table. And my knuckleheaded kids, God, thank you for them too. And thank you for my spouse. When we live a life of being grateful and recognizing that God is in control, it puts everything in so much perspective. And he says, if you trust me with all your heart, and you don't lean on your own understanding, fighting back, and you acknowledge me, he will make straight the path. God's saying, I got it laid out for you. You just need to follow and do what I'm asking you to do. That's all based upon trust. Do we trust God when he calls us into hard situations, point of sacrifice? I need you to let go of that thing. And we all have a thing, that thing that we're hanging on to we know we shouldn't be doing. And if we're married, our spouse is telling us what that thing is we need to let go of. We all have that thing that we're struggling with, and we know God is saying we need to let go of that, but God is saying, do you trust me enough to let go of that thing that's in your life? So Jacob, he sneaks away. He doesn't actually go and say, Laban, can I leave? He flees because he has fear of losing everything he has. Again, we'll get to that a little bit later. But what he's doing is he's trusting in his flesh. My flesh is telling me that if I leave, I will lose everything. Now that is pride, and that is arrogance, and that is a need to have and hold on to something. He's listening to what his flesh is telling him and not what God is actually calling him into. Every single time that God says, go out or go in, I guarantee it's going to be scary. He's calling you into a place that you're not at, and we don't like change. And it's scary to step into that part. But what Jacob forgot and what we forgot so many times, when God says step, he also says, but I will be with you. I am your strength. I am your shield. I will be there for you as you move in that direction. And Jacob forgot that. It's all about putting God in perspective. Now, let me show you in the Bible where we as Christians today, we're talking about the Old Testament with Jacob, but God still says to us today, I will be with you when he sends us out. And when he sends us in. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. You've heard it before. It's the Great Commission. Christ is talking to the disciples. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go out and duplicate yourselves. You are disciples. Go make more disciples by telling them who I am, telling them what I've done, preaching Christ crucified, and teaching them all that I have commanded you, giving them everything they need so they can go out and make more disciples. You here today are sitting here because of his Great Commission, of people going out and sharing with the entire world. What does God say when he says, I need you to go out, to go someplace else? He says, well, actually says, go in. You're going into mission. And he says, behold, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Until the time that I come back, I'm going to be with you. So here we find God saying, I need you to step in and do something, and I will be with you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, Paul talks about God telling us to step out. Hebrews 13, 5, keep your life free from the love of money. Don't allow greed to control you. Don't be consumed by having material things. Get out of that. Let go of that lifestyle of hanging on to the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We can confidently say to the Lord that he is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do against me? Stepping in and stepping out, God is right there beside of us. Do we have that level of trust? When God is calling us, God, every single one of us in the room today has something that God has on our mind that he's pulling us towards. And it all comes down to the fact of, can I trust God when he moves me in that direction? So, number one, trust God when he calls. Number two, trust God when the world begins pushing back. I guarantee you, every single time we turn our life back to God, we hear God and we begin moving in the direction God is calling us. Every single time we do that, there's going to be opposition. The world begins pushing back. Our sinful nature begins pushing back. I mean, if you try giving up smoking, I did that way back in the 80s. You have that craving. You're like, I got to have a cigarette. And you keep being called back to it. You know you need to stop it, But that urge is still there. Every single temptation we have the same way. When we give it up, our spirit is calling us back, and God is saying, do you trust me? I will be with you. I got you through this. Keep focusing upon me, and I'll pull you through that event. And the world begins coming against us. If you try to walk away from a group of friends that are doing things that you are wrapped up in, they're going to try to pull you back. If you're with a bunch of people that are always gossiping, they're going to try to pull you back. The world will push against you when we change our direction and begin moving in the direction that God is calling us to go. Look in Genesis chapter 31, 22 through 27. When it was told to Laban on the third day that Jacob had fled, he took his kinsmen with him and pursued him for 7 days. It took him 3 days to find out and then 7 days to pursue him. And he's got an army with him, and they're charging across the plateau. Jacob has got his camels, he's got his herds, he's moving slow, and Laban's coming up hot behind him with a small army trying to capture him or catch up to him. But God came to Laban, the Aramean, in a dream by night and said to him, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. I want you to focus on that. God told Jacob to go, and he fled. He tricked his father-in-law. He wasn't doing what God was telling him to do, but he was moving in the direction, but kind of. Even though he fumbled the ball, God was still there. God was still there helping protect him as he was moving in that direction. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do the wrong thing. We're going to have those days that we're missing the mark. And we can't come back thinking, well, God doesn't love me now. God is still there. He said, I'll be with you every step of the way. God is not going to walk away from you. Even when we fumble the ball, God is still there. 25. And Laban finally overtook Jacob in the hill country. I want you to picture this. So Jacob is running with all of his herds, and we have the other army coming behind us. They're charging in like an old Western, you know, where the outlaws are hiding in the hills and the posse's coming after them, and they can see the smoke trail off in the distance. For 7 days, he was being chased by Laban. There was a lot of anxiety going on as they saw the dust kicking up behind them, knowing they can't outrun them. And they finally came to a place in the hill country where they set up their camp. When we find ourselves in those places where we're being pressed and we're anxious and we're nervous about what's coming on, it's hard to stay focused on being what God is calling us to be when all of those emotions begin flying into us. And watch what happens. Laban overtook Jacob, and Jacob pitched his tent in the hill country, and Laban and his kinsmen pitched tents in the hill country of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done that you have tricked me and driven away my daughters like captives of the sword? Why did you flee secretly and trick me and did not tell me so that I might have sent you away with mirth and song and the tambourine and lyre? Now, he probably wouldn't have done that, but he's egging on Jacob. Why did you take off running? Now, down look at verse 30. He goes on a little longer, and then he says, and now you've gone away because you long greatly for your father's house, but why did you take my household gods? So Rachel, as they were fleeing, went to her father's house and stole the household gods and packed them into the baggage as they were running across the desert. And Jacob didn't know about that, and we'll get to that in a minute. So when God calls us to step out or to step in, there's a reason. And when we do, we're going to come under persecution, either inside of us where we're fighting against our nature, or people on the outside that are accusing us and pointing the finger at us and trying to pull us back. In those moments, we can't trust the fact that we have the strength to get through that. Because if we do, we're going to find ourselves doing the wrong thing. We're going to be relying upon our power, trying to convince people that we're doing the right thing, and we're going to fail every single time. So when the world comes at us, what do we do? And what makes it worse is many times when we begin stepping out of where God has called us, our friends and our family begin tripping us up as well. So Rachel stole the idols. In that culture, idols were representative of God. So their gods were where those idols were. If you go to any one of the ancient temples around Greece or wherever else you go, there was always a statue of the god or the goddess there. And the reason the statue was there is they believed that that god was there, represented by that statue. So anyone that had these idols, their household idols, they believed that their gods were actually there. They could go and pray to them, and they could receive the blessings from those gods, which gave those people power, and it gave those people authority. So Laban had the household gods. He had the authority and the power to go and talk to these gods, and Rachel took them. Now, we have no idea why Rachel took them. She could have taken them because she was wanting to take the power and the authority that her father had, because he's taken everything from them and giving it over to her husband, Jacob, so now he would have the power and authority. She was raised in that lifestyle. She could have still had that feeling. Or she could have taken it because she was being spiteful. I'm taking the power away from my father, and she tucked it into the bags. We don't know why she did it, but we do know that she's also stumbling around, not knowing quite how to trust God. But because she did that, Laban comes after him, and he's accusing him of stealing the household gods. Even our family and friends can cause us to stumble at times when we're trying to move in the direction that God is calling us to move. So what do we do when that happens? Look what Jacob did. Verse 36. When he was under attack, they were accusing him of stealing the household gods. And they didn't find him because Rachel set on them and hid them from her father. 36, then Jacob became angry and berated Laban. So now this pride begins rising up. Jacob said to Laban, "What is my offense? What is my sin that you have hotly pursued me? For you felt through all of my goods, and what have you found of all the household goods? Set it here before my kinsmen and your kinsmen, and they may decide between us which one is right." And we're talking about Rachel taking the gods. Now watch closely, 38. Then Jacob says, "These 20 years, I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock, but was torn by the wild beast I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it myself. From my hand you required it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was by day in the heat when it consumed me, in the cold of night. And my sleep fled my eyes. These 20 years I have been in your house. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flocks, and you've exchanged my wages," or changed them, 10 times. Seven times Jacob rises up saying, "Look what I did. How do you accuse me of coming against you and taking your stuff? I've done so much for you." Doesn't that happen at times? People begin accusing us or coming at us, and we begin rising up in our anger. We either fight or we run, but there's always that reaction inside of us. What is God calling us to do in those moments? Not only to trust him, but we're called to turn away wrath. We're called to love our enemy. We're called to be humble. It's hard to focus on God when we're wrapped up around our own issues, and we'll talk about that in a second. Jeremiah 17:7-8. Jeremiah says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. For he's like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes, trials, persecution, problems. For its leaves remain green. And is not anxious in the year of the drought, loss, abandonment. For it does not cease to bear fruit. God again and again tells us, if you trust me, I will be there and sustain you when you go through all of these problems we have." We have these things we hang on to that we kind of call it. It's like the Lord of the Rings, my precious. I can't do the sound. You know, my precious. And we hang on to it, that thing that we just don't want to let go of. And I don't know what it is. You do. Don't testify. But there are issues that we struggle with that we just don't want to let it go of. And when we hang on to those issues and do not release it to God, and we don't trust God in the small things of our life, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, just be a good person. If we can't trust God in the small things, we're not going to be able to trust God in the big things when our life turns sideways. And that's what we find happening with Jacob. Because he did not follow God the way he should have when he left, and he fled instead, it's going to bite him when he comes under persecution from his father-in-law. Because if we're trusting God with the small things, we're exactly where we need to be when the big things happen. Does that make sense? It's recognizing that I cannot do anything. It's all about God and giving him the glory and giving him the praise in our day-to-day life. So when things turn sideways and we come under temptation or people come out against us, we're exactly where we need to be, standing in the presence of God. So every single time God says, go out or go in, and he says, trust me, and he says, and I will be with you, what God is saying is if you step in that direction, you're stepping into my presence. You're stepping into the place I'm at, and I'm calling you to come into this place. We're drawing closer to God every time we actually follow him and listen to what he's telling us. Now, let's go a little further. Verse 42. Watch what Jacob says after he berates Laban. If the God of my father and the God of Abraham, you're doing great, Jacob, keep going, and the fear of Isaac, he's looking towards God, that's exactly where he needs to be, had not been on my side, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. What is he really concerned about? Losing all the stuff that he had acquired. He took his brother's blessing. He took the birthright. Now he's got families. He has herds. He has servants. In that culture, that was wealth. He has built himself an empire. He's afraid that if he went and talked to Laban, he would have lost everything. But God saw my affliction and the labor of my hands. God was there and saw every single thing that I did. I did this. We just read it. I did this. I did this. So many times we invite God into our situation, saying, God, help me do what I'm doing, instead of actually following the direction that God is calling us to go. And then it goes on, and you were rebuked last night. If God had not been with me, I would have lost everything. The thing that Jacob is hanging on to is the fear of losing what he believes makes him something. You see, we all have that. I don't care if it was you went through hurt and pain and you built a wall around yourself. You know those emotional walls that we build? You can't get to me. You can't touch me. And that's our safety. God, I'm trusting this wall that I've built. This is what I'm hanging on to. And God's saying, step out. It's scary. Or God is calling us to let go of something. A temptation, a sinful temptation. I don't know what it is, but you're hanging on to that. I need this to make me feel good. I need this to make me feel secure. This thing makes me somebody. God, if I let go of this, I won't be anybody. There's all these issues that we're hanging on to, and God is saying, let go of those things and trust me, because the direction I'm going in is the best thing for you. Every single thing that God has done in my life that I actually went towards, it was a blessing on the other side. But everything I didn't go towards, I realized that it was just nothing there. Everything crumbled in my hands. Can you see how if we're not actually seeking God in the small things, when the big things begin coming down upon us, we just can't let go. Every single one of us is living through hurt or brokenness. We've been pushed off. We have peer pressure. We've got sinful temptations, cultural opposition that's happening inside of our culture, our community, inside of our families. And the thing that we need to realize is putting on the full armor of God is not the thing we do after we step into the fray. It's what we do before we get in there. And learning how to trust God with the small things of our life before life begins pounding around us puts us in the exact same place we need to be, because now we're standing with God when the world begins falling around us. So what is God, trust God when he calls you, sorry. Trust God when the world pushes back, and trust God when he sets the boundaries. In the closing verses, we find Jacob and Laban making a bargain, making a covenant with each other. And in that covenant is the only covenant in the Bible that is a covenant of separation. You go your way, I go my way, we'll never see each other. Let's put that before God. And what the covenant boiled down to was three main things. You don't come on my side to cause me harm. I won't come to your side to cause you harm. And you don't harm my daughters, and you don't marry other women. Let God be the witness. And they went their same way. They went different ways. Every single time that we come into a place of great trial or opposition, don't we try to set boundaries as well? When something bad happens, you're like, oh, I'm not going to do that again. If you have those mornings when you wake up and you're going, I'm not going to do that again. that happens in our lives. And we try to set some kind of boundary and saying, I'm not crossing that line again. I'm not going in that direction. Or we get caught doing something that we shouldn't have been doing. And we're like, God, if you get me out of this, I will read my Bible 5 times a day and be in church 7 days a week. Just get me out of this thing, believing that these things will protect us from going the other direction. When we set those type of boundaries, we decide that we're going to do something or stop something. It's like making a fence out of yarn, believing it'll keep the world from coming into us and us going out to the world. The only thing that's going to hold us in place is trusting the boundaries that God has set for us. As you look through the Bible, there's a lot of things we come in contact with that deal with this is what God is calling you into and this is what God is calling you out of. And if we trust that, we'll find more peace inside of our life. Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. And what God is calling us out of is don't be angry. Don't be jealous. Don't be wrathful. He's calling you out of those things. And then the fruit of the Spirit, talking about what we receive by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a pick and choose. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. And in many times we walk around thinking, well, I'll take a little happiness today or I'll take a little joy today. And we try to pick what we're receiving. God is saying, no, these are the things you're supposed to have inside of your life. And I'm telling you right now, both of those, the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, they're both scary. It is hard stepping out of being angry or being hateful when you're in that place. It is hard to be loving to people that you really don't want to be loving to, or to be hopeful when you don't feel like there's things to be hopeful for. Both of those things, going out or going in, is a difficult place to be. And God is saying, this is the boundary that you don't cross. Come to me, trust the boundaries and barriers I'm placing in your life, and I will be able to bring you peace. But if you keep hanging on to those things that you believe will make you happy, you're never going to get to where I'm calling you to go. Let me show you in Mark chapter 9, verse 21, of what we should do when we find ourselves in that place. So we have issues that we face every day. We think that maybe finances will save us. We're hurt and broken, and we're not really trusting God. God, I'm not really sure if you're going to be there for me. Or maybe it's because we have those walls, and God, I can't let go of these walls because I'm not sure if I can trust that you will actually be there for me on the other side. How do we break through and begin moving in the direction God is calling us to be? Mark 9:21. It's the story of Jesus when he comes to a man that has a demon-possessed son. And they've tried to cast the demon out. It's not working. And Jesus comes and he says, he asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And the father said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if I can, all things are possible for those who believe. And immediately the father of the child said, I believe. And then he said, help my unbelief. Let me put it another way. He's saying, yes, I trust you. You can do that. Help me to trust. There are things in our lives right now that are holding us back. Jacob is seeking after God. He's using the right words. He's praising him. He's saying, God did this. He recognizes who God is. But his life is not mirroring that by the way that he's living because of the things he's hanging on to. We all have that precious, that thing. All of us have something that God is calling us towards. You feel it. And all of us have that resistance of not moving in that direction. And the story of Jacob is him slowly learning through life that he can trust God to become the person God is calling him to be. The person that God is wanting you to be is so amazing and so much more, and yet we're scared to move in that direction. So the question we close with is, what is God calling you to trust in? And what is it that we're hanging on to that is holding us back? Let us pray. God, we come before you this morning, and we thank you because, God, we know that you're the only hope. many of us, God, are struggling because there's this temptation that we just can't get rid of, this cancer of a thought that keeps coming into our mind. And we find ourselves being pushed by the world, everything we see on TV, everything we see on our phone, everything we read, and the world that we move through, and the hectic traffic that keeps cutting us off. God is just so chaotic. Help us, God, to recognize that what we need to do is quit worrying about what's happening outside of us and just focus upon you. God, what are you calling me to do? Help me to be at peace. Help me to be loving. Help me to be kind. Help me to be where I need to be. Father, bring me into your presence. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.